Usually every Sunday we have a 5-minute greeting here at this church, but today is a special day because we're celebrating Father's Day, all right? So let's give a round of applause to all the papas. Yes. So because of that, we're doing something different. We're actually going to end our service at 11:40 a.m. because we're going to have a carne asada out there, okay? So we're going to have a lot of time to chat and to get to know each other, and everybody is welcome. So because of that reason, we're not going to have our 5-minute greeting today, okay? But the way that we're going to do the service, I'm going to invite Cindy, Dean, and Lauren to please come up. The way that we're going to do the sermon, there's not going to be a sermon today. We're actually going to have a panel, okay? And today, the things that we're going to be, subject that we're going to be talking about is in regards of something very basic that you guys have heard about. I mean, if you've been around the church, this is something that you have, you know, heard many, many times. That is so basic that sometimes we forget how important it is. That is prayer. Okay? I have good news for you guys. And hear me out. Okay? We have a God who is alive. Okay? The God that we believe is a God who is alive. It's the God who is listening to my voice right now. God is, he knows what you're thinking right now. I know he got you. God knows how you're feeling right now. God is a God who is alive. And many times in my life, I don't relate to God like if he were someone who is alive. So I don't go to him in my needs. I don't go to him when I'm going through something hard or when I'm going through something good. But God has given us an access through prayer to come to him every single time, whenever we want, wherever we want. But I confess that I don't get, you know, to use that resource of prayer that God has given to me and to you and to all of us. So today we want to talk a little bit about that, about what is prayer? Why is prayer important in our lives? Lately, I have been praying, and also I have had times in my life when I have prayed. And guys, God is alive, and he is willing to listen to us. Okay, so today we invited a group of experts, all of them, prayer warriors. But before I introduce these warriors, I want to dismiss the kids. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Johan. So if you're a kid, please follow Carrie. We're going to have a special time for you guys. Oh, I'm in the middle. Okay. Okay. How are you doing, guys? Great. I'm going to let you to introduce yourself, please. So if you could say your name and what is your role here at Westside Church Internacional, that last word in Spanish, please. Let's start with the ladies over here.
Okay. My name is Cindy, and I'm one of the pastors in the church here, and I'm a native of Denver, and I've been blessed to be, you know, part of the team that started this church.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I am the pastoral apprentice here right now. I'm from Aurora, Colorado native as well. Hey, Tom. Excited you guys are all here, especially the Mississippi group. Glad to have you guys here.
Kansas.
You said something about Mississippi.
Yeah, just fault.
Hello. my name is Dean, and I am the youth director here at Westside Church. I'm just so happy to see you guys and love you guys. You're awesome.
Hi, my name is Johan. I'm from Colombia, and I'm one of the pastors here as well.
Okay, well, guys, thank you so much. Today we wanted to do a panel because When we talk, I mean, I was reading a little bit about prayer. Prayer could take like a semester just talking about that. So we wanted to have a time where we can talk more like a casual time about what prayer is for your lives, you know, what God has taught you in your lives in regards of prayer, how you have seen God working in your lives and through your lives, you know, through prayer and through that time that we have as Christians. So I'm just going to start with a very simple question, and this is open for whoever wants to respond it. But I would like to ask, what is prayer? What is that? And that's an open question for...
This could take a while.
Well, prayer to me is just, it's a relationship with me and the Father in Jesus Christ. That's what prayer is. There's no formula to it. It's just a relationship. It's just speaking to him because he wants to spend time with each and every one of you, right? Every day, he wants to spend time with you. And prayer to me is just spending time with him, talking to him, telling him how much I love him, and just telling him what's going on and him telling me what he wants me to do. So that's what prayer is to me.
Okay.
I would say that prayer is the forgotten luxury that Christians have. It's a luxury because we get to talk to the God creator, right? And how good it is to take a picture with famous people, right? And to talk, to have a chance to say hello to a famous singer or sport player. And it's really, really, really good thing. So we have a luxury to talk to God, the creator. And it's a forgotten gift that we have, but it's a gift.
I would say, it's communication. It's communication with God, and there's different types. And there's intercessory type prayer, where we're interceding for needs. There's spiritual warfare prayer, where we're just fighting against the forces of darkness and praying that God will release, you know, whatever powers in heaven to help us. There's, you know, intimacy prayer and conversational prayer and communion prayer. And so I would say it's communication.
I'd say for me, prayer is the bridge between, you know, earth and the Father, and just this sweet, sweet gift that, yeah, like Johan said, it's this luxury that we've forgotten, or hopefully that we haven't, and it's this sweet bridge that we just get access to. It's free. It's a gift, and not only that, it changes us, and yeah, it's very necessary.
Thank you. So the question is, why is prayer important? You know, why something, you know, so simple it seems to be, is it such an important thing in our lives? So I'm going to ask Johan if you can open us up.
Yeah, I think prayer is important just because God says so. I mean, that's the first... He says, you should pray, you know, follow me and you know, and pray like this, Jesus said. And Paul says, always, you know, be praying. So it's a mandate, right? That, I think that's the first why, because God says so. But next to that, it is important because it brings life. It brings life. It brings identity. It brings clarity. It brings direction, right? It is just that thing that really put you like it puts your compass, your GPS for life, right where it needs to be. It's a tool that we all get to use so that we can know each other better and that we can grow and that we can know God better.
Okay. Anybody else? Why is prayer important? What do you guys think? I mean, I could share a little bit. I think that when I pray or when I have those times with God, I feel like when I'm praying, it's been more about me, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. It's more than just me coming to God like if he were some type of genie and asking him just to, you know, for whatever, a Ferrari. I've been praying for that, but still, no, just kidding. But it's more like just coming to God and asking him for things. What I have experienced is when I pray, God starts changing my heart. And when I pray, he talks to me. And I feel like sometimes prayer is more than me talking to God, and it's him talking to me, right? And he's like revealing things about a situation, right? About a circumstance, about a wound in my life, about sin in my life, about good things about my life, right? So I think that, you know, when God asks us to pray, it's not only because he says, come and ask. He's, you know, as you said, come and ask, and I will give to you according to his will. But what I have experienced is that prayer is a time of daily transformation. And it's beyond my feelings. So that's, yeah, it's my two cents. All right, well, let's keep going. Let's move on. So, Johan, you mentioned something about that prayer is a mandate, right? So we see in the Bible that God is, you know, ask us to pray. But also, you know, it seems that prayer is portrayed as something that has to come from our hearts. So what would you say, Johan, how do you maintain, or how should we, you know, as Christians, it seems like there's a tension between God is asking me to do something, but this is something that I actually want to do. And sometimes when people give me orders, I tend not to. I just get like in the mambo mode, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, I'm not going to do it now. So,
yeah. It is in our flesh to resist anything that is not tasty, right? Even with eating, we resist, you know, a good broccoli, a good salad, you know. And we know that it's good, right? But it's the tendency, it's natural for us to resist something that is good. And God, he says, you know, you should pray, you know, go there and pray. And when we see Jesus praying, it's also, you should also pray. Pray with me. Why are you sleeping? Jesus told the disciples, you know, wake up. You have to pray all night. And it's this tone of God saying it is conditional. It is not just an option. So it becomes really hard for us to find, you know, to see as something tasty and something that you naturally would be inclined to digest, right? So it creates a tension, and usually when it's a tension, we always go to the easier way, right? So we just say, okay, if it's not coming naturally, you know, I wake up at 6 a.m., it's not coming naturally, and I won't do it because it's useless. I want these things to be from my heart. It's like a couple, you know, when you divorce, I'm not feeling it anymore, so we might as well divorce. So God, you know, he said, you should do it. So how do we do that? The first thing that I think is going to help to balance is that God honors obedience. And if we just sit down and say, God, I'm not feeling it, but I'm just going to sit here with you, you know, and I'm going to just assume that you're next to me. I'm just going to, God, I'm here, talk to me, you know. And when you start in that, you know, kind of submission attitude towards God, God rewards that. God rewards that you are acknowledging his mandate, you know, and not everything in our faith has to be naturally, you know, inclined, coming from our desire, because a lot of the things in our faith has to be a step coming out of obedience, out of faithfulness to God. So the balance, I think, is acknowledging that God is God, right? And that, yes, there is a natural feeling to it that should come back out of us, but it has to be seen as God is doing it, but also seeing all those beautiful things that can come out of it. You know better God. You know better yourself. You understand yourself. You understand your attitudes, your bitterness, your pain, your, you know, your sorrow, and that is the moment, that is the atmosphere where God is going to do that, when you allow that. And that's why prayer is important. So it helps to balance, because it is a mandate, but it's rewarding. right? It's like when you try to lose weight, it's really hard to eat only salad and protein. But after 2 months, you see, wow, it feels so good. I'm going to go back and play sports. And it's at the end, it's really good.
So it's like, as you were talking, kind of like this image, like when a doctor prescribes a medicine that it tastes bad, and you don't want to, you don't want to take it, right? Because it doesn't have a good taste. But you start feeling better, right? So you're not doing it because it tastes great. Mm-hmm. You're doing it because it's good. Mm-hmm. But what I have found is that, the more I pray and the more I am in God's presence, the more I actually like it. Mm-hmm. It's like, dang, bro, this is awesome. I start seeing oh, wow, God, you're doing things in my life. That's mm-hmm. amazing. So have you guys, experienced that, it's something that is not natural in you to do? It's something hard to do, Dean, Lauren, or Cindy?
Listening to Johan, I kind of, my head goes to, bind my wandering heart to thee. And I feel like I've said that so often in my life. And I just feel like sometimes I come to prayer and I see prayer as this platform where I come, to the foot of the cross, almost with a situation that I feel I am sovereign over. And I'm handing it over to God and being like, hey, this is what's going on. However, it's this sweet, sweet place where you come in this unnatural kind of position and you hand over this situation, and on the other end is this sovereign, peaceful, good God who wants to help. And it ends up always, for me at least, coming in this unnatural form and position and then leaving in this upright position, because Jesus has picked me up and he has turned this situation into something where he is now sovereign. And I think it's very unnatural, and it's always very daunting to me, always. And I mean, I've known Christ for a very long time, and I still can go days without actually feeling like I have sat at the foot of the cross with him, and it feels daunting. And I, even then, selfishly, I come with this situation that I feel sovereign over. And every single time he comes, and he is sovereign, and he is the one that changes me and parses through my heart, my life, and in turn makes me upright. So I think it's very natural to feel uncomfortable and come to this place where we just don't feel it's this natural communication with the Lord.
Yeah, I. You wanted to add something, Cindy?
Just simply that it's a spiritual discipline. You have to discipline yourself, but so rewarding and so real.
But have you guys experienced also, that the more you pray, kind of like the more you want to be praying? Like, I think the guy who comes to my mind is Daniel, right, from the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that this dude prayed 3 times a day, right? And I remember one of, when I was, praying every day, it was kind of harder for me to finish my prayers, because I was having such a fun time with God, but I kind of wanted to pray again, And then that's why I understood. That's why Daniel would pray 3 times a day, because it was amazing. It was awesome. But it doesn't come natural, I would say, as we. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's any discipline that is natural, in anybody.
I would like to add something to that.
Sí, amigo.
It's crucial that as we think of prayer and try to get better or improve at this, that we know that prayer has a twin sister. It's called holiness. And as we seek to elevate our prayer life, it is very useless to think, oh, I'm going to have increment my prayer life by 10 minutes a day, if we're not doing that with our spiritual life in our hearts. And when I talk of holiness, it's everything, It's my life to God, what I do with my life, what I do with my hands, with my mind, with my mouth, with my actions, and how am I pursuing transformation, how I'm walking my own prayer. And it's very important for us, in order to increase and to develop and to wanting to eat more of that, that we eat, more of prayer, but also that we are also positioning ourselves under, you know, the guidelines of God, you know, what he tells us to do. You know, it's not gonna work if, you know, if we're not also putting ourselves at the foot of the cross with our hearts to be transformed and to be changed, to be a better person every day, and to seek holiness, to humble ourselves before God. And that we can separate those two things.
And I think I want to ask you, you know, I think when I have gone to church, you know, one of the issues that I have with churches and with pastors, and I happen to be one, is that, you know, we tend to preach like formulas, right? If you do this, then it's gonna happen this. And I feel like as human beings, we don't like to feel control. We don't like to feel like, bro, you don't tell me what to do. You don't know me, right? Like we kind of got that attitude. But I was thinking, you know, if I would go with a personal trainer to the gym and I ask him, bro, I really want to get fit. I really wanna, you know, get in good shape. What are the things that I need to do? And he would say, one of the first things he would say, you need to start eating healthy. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that because I like my Cheetos and my Doritos and laying on my couch watching Netflix like 5 hours a day. So he would say, bro, it's not going to work. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you keep eating that, you know, it's not going to work. And I would say, we're not trying to give you a formula, guys. This is just Christianity 101, right? If you want to get fit, you need to eat healthy. If you want to have intimacy with God, if we want to see God transforming our lives, we got to go to the prayer room and be there. So we're not here trying to tell you, oh, you know, like we're better than you or anything like that. But this is something that is so simple that we disregard it many times. So, Dean, what would you say, is there, you know, for those who are maybe exploring this thing calling Christianity or having a relationship with God, or those who have been Christians for a long time, what would you say, is there like a special way to pray? How should we pray, in your opinion?
Well, just like Mamo said, I mean, there's no formula to praying to the Father, right? Jesus died on the cross. Why? So we can go straight to the Father. We don't need to go through anybody else. We can have a relationship with him daily. Every single day, we can speak to him, and he's listening. You know, sometimes someone said that you're waiting on God, but no, God's waiting on you to listen to him. He's waiting on you to speak to him. There's no formula or anything. It's simple. If you're married, you're in a relationship, you speak to that person, right? You talk to that person every day. If you don't speak to them, they're going to be like, what's going on? What's going on? That's how the Father is. Every day, he's waiting. He's like, will you speak to me today? I got something I want to tell you. There's a direction I want to take you. There's something I want to show you. He just wants a simple relationship with you. There's no specialness. And sometimes we put religion in it, and it's not about religion. It's a relationship. Don't get that twisted. It's a relationship with us. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we can speak to them daily, every day. And he's waiting to speak to you. He's waiting to tell you things. He's waiting to hear things for you. He just wants to spend time with you. So, no, there's no special formula or anything that you have to do. Just talk to him. He yearns to speak with you every day. Sometimes I get caught up with busyness myself, you know. And I hear the Lord speak to me. He's like, what's going on? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't speak to you today. You know, see, I cannot go a day without speaking to him and talking to him because he wants to spend time with each and every one of us, right? He loves us so much.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you. So, Lauren, you know, the greatest example that we have in life, in the universe, his name is called Jesus Christ. You know, what do we know about his prayer life? Did he pray or what's...
Okay, yeah. Yes. I mean, if you have gone through the Bible, if you haven't, it doesn't matter. Jesus prayed all the time because he took on humanity. He he prayed from an earthly posture to the Father because he loved the Father. And you know, what's so important about Jesus is he did come as this, he's divine, but he's also man, and that's what's so important. So because of this position that he had from an earthly standpoint and feelings and an earthly ministry, he was always in connection with the Father. He would always go off to quiet places. I forget what it is. I think Luke 1:15, you know, he'd go off in the morning by himself often, and he'd go to lonely places and deserted places to pray and find time with the Father. And I think that speaks volumes to our King Jesus. I mean, he was always in communication with the Father, and he knew that he could not do this apart from him. And, you know, we have this amazing gift to do the same thing, and it's beautiful. Even on the cross, when, you know, Jesus was being crucified, saying, "Jesus, or God, why have you forsaken me?" It's because he took this, you know, he was in this terrible standpoint of this consciousness of man and being separated from the Father and taking on this sin of the world. And even then, in angst and anger, he was praying to the Father. And Jesus prayed often.
Thank you. So, you know, I think one of the hardest parts, at least for me and maybe for you too, that sometimes I don't go to God because I just don't believe he's going to do what I'm, you know, asking him to do. That's hard. I guess the hardest part is when I have prayed and God says no to my prayer or doesn't answer my prayer, or when I am waiting for his answer. And that's something that, you know, I sometimes or many times wrestle with. It's hard because I had this notion or this idea that, as I said, that, you know, I portray or I conceive or I think God is a genie instead of the creator of the universe and my Father. So, Cindy, what would you say in regards of, you know, those prayers that seem not to be answered or that God said no? To those, you know, prayers, what should we, you know, what should be like or approach or?
Well, I'm a lot older than most of you here, so I've had a lot of opportunities to have prayer not answered and to question that. And the first thing that does is undermine trust, doesn't it? When God doesn't seem to answer the prayer, the first thing you begin to feel is, can I trust? I mean, who are you? What is this? Do you care? Are you here? Why won't you answer this? But because of having years of experience and walking in that, you realize God is wise. He sometimes withholds an answer for a reason. Sometimes God says no because it's good for us. Or there may be a resistance, like in Daniel's case, there was literally spiritual warfare, and there was a need for a community of prayer, you know, to pray through things. But I wanted to tell a quick story about that in my life. And years ago, Jude and I, we bought our first home when we were 19 years old, and it was a great little home in a community not too far from here. But not long after that, we began to experience break-ins. And over 15 years, we had 14 break-ins. And I faced masked men at the door. I faced men climbing in the windows. I faced men in the house with my kids. I mean, it was scary. It was hard. And I began to pray, God, deliver us from this. I want to move. I want to move, God. You know, this is not good. And I have little kids. And God was not answering that prayer. And year after year, and it was like, what is the deal? And we tried to put our house on the market to sell it, and it wouldn't sell. And it was a beautiful little home in perfect condition, truly. And I knew God was resisting that. And I really questioned God. And in fact, it stirred anger in me. I felt like he wasn't protecting me. I even kind of rose up in this It's my right. I'm an American. I deserve safety and protection in my home, you know, things like that. My kids, you know, my son Nathan's here today. He used to build booby traps to catch the robbers, you know, and that just used to break my heart that they weren't seeing God answer the prayer and that we would have to you know, almost, you know, prepare ourselves for what's going to happen. But that taught us many lessons as a family. Number one, we don't own anything. We're just stewards. And that God is our salvation and protector. Our trust is in him. Not to bow to the spirit of fear. Because I used to bow to that fear a lot. And God had to teach me, fear me more than you fear fear. And I had to learn how to push through the fear and worship God and trust him no matter what. And little did I know that God was preparing us as a family to go from the frying pan, as they say, to the fire. Because God called us to move into the inner city, into the worst neighborhood, and plant a church right between gang members, Crips and Bloods. We had shootings every week. We had gunshots 4 or 5 nights a week. We had knifings. We had so much going on in our life. But we weren't motivated by fear. We had learned the lesson to trust God. Our life is in his hands. And that was hard. And it surfaced a lot of insecurity and a lot of things in my life to be in that fire. But it forged something deep and valuable and useful for the kingdom. And to be able to actually do the work of God, not only here locally, but globally. In third world countries, in places where I've faced machetes in my face. And I thought, no, it's you, God. So.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Well, we're going to practice prayer right now. I'm going to ask Doug if you can please call Carrie and Abby. There are two things that we want to say. One, it's every third Wednesday of the month, we have prayer here at the church. And I once heard that, you know, a church health, something like that, I'm misquoting, but I'm making a new quote, should be measured not by the number of people who attend on Sundays, but by the number of people who attend prayer. And every third Wednesday of the month, we have a prayer time. So this Wednesday is happening from
7 to 8:30.
So from 7 to 8:30, it's a time of just prayer, reflection, fellowship. So we invite you; everybody's welcome to join us. So this Wednesday, from 7 to 8:30, and also as you guys probably noticed, we are a multi-ethnic, multicultural church because we believe that everyone was created in the image and likeness of God. And that discipleship, the best discipleship happens when you're with people who are different than you. You know, that's when God takes your heart and takes your life and he's like, I'm going to teach you, bro. You either love me here, you know, or this is not going to work. And that's the model that we see in the New Testament. So we love and care about people of all nations, all colors, all everything, okay? And one of two of our, you know, friends are going actually to a mission trip, Carrie and Abby. So I'm going to please guys to join us up here. And you guys can go that way. There, yeah. And they're going to go, they're leaving this Wednesday. They're going to the border of, if I understand well, Nicaragua and Costa Rica. And you're going to be in a place where people are seeking for political asylum in Costa Rica, right? You're going to be there doing missions and ministering people and serving and helping. So it's an honor for us to send you as your church. And we want to pray for you. And we want to pray for the time that you will be there and for God to protect you and for God to use your lives. So if you guys may please stand up, we're going to pray for Carrie and Abby. Johan.
Okay. Father in heaven, we worship you and we give you all the glory for what you're doing around the world. And even in the little things, just like a mission trip, going for a few days, for a week, for 2 weeks, can have a huge impact in someone's life. And we know that Carrie and Abby and family have been called as missionaries to the world for many years, and they continue to serve you faithfully, Father, and we pray for them as they go, that you will use them, that you would use their hands, their feet, their words, serving those people who are there in the border of Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and the refugee camps, trying to find crossing from Nicaragua to Costa Rica, asking for asylum. So we pray for Abby and Carrie, that you will be with them, that your Holy Spirit will empower them, fill them, that they will have fun, that they will know new people, that you will protect them from all evil, that you will provide for every need, Father. And as we send them, Father, I pray that you would raise more and more missionaries from among us, people with a heart to serve others. And we don't have to go all over the world because there is a need here. So we pray for that too, Lord. But we pray again for them, for protection, for a good flight, leaving and coming back, that you would lead them, that you would just empower them and be with them, Lord, anointing them to do your work, to be your hands and feet, like we just sang. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're just going to keep on worshiping together. The song that we're going to sing next, it says, I just want to know you, God. Know you more and more and more each day. To enter into your presence and praise and reveal to us your glory, our desire is to seek you in your face. We want your presence, Jesus.